Now some news from the world of sports. And a couple of days back, you may have heard the interview NPR did with Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt. That's Loyola Chicago's 98-year-old team chaplain. And she was talking about the team's incredible Cinderella run thus far in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. Sister Schmidt not only prays for Loyola before every game, she also scouts the other team pregame. And it was a fun little interview. And afterwards, I made a stupid pun about the team's next opponent, Nevada, having a chance to beat Loyola that was slim to none. Well, my dumb play on words notwithstanding, Sister Schmidt certainly got the last laugh, with Loyola's underdog campaign still very much active after they beat the Wolfpack 69-68 last night. And the number 11 seed is now into the Elite Eight. And Loyola won that game on a three-pointer with about 10 seconds to go. Was it guided into the hoop by some power higher than us? We will never know. But the whole bracket at this point is a repudiation of everything every hoops expert said would happen. Other upset winners include number 9 Kansas State, knocking off fifth-seeded Kentucky 61-58. If your bracket looks anything like it has a chance of winning anything at all, then you know something the rest of us do not. To the NHL now, and teams that are playoff bound have two goals in mind heading into the postseason, and one is more important than the other. The first is to jockey for the best position, perhaps grab one of the top three spots in the division instead of the wild card, and secure home ice advantage if possible. The other more critical goal is to have as many of your best players as healthy as possible. So while the Toronto Maple Leafs are happy with their 5-2 win over the Nashville Predators last night, they are even happier that the game saw the return of their best player, star forward Austin Matthews, who had missed the last 10 games with a shoulder injury but did score a goal in his return last night. James Van Riemsdyk and Mitch Marner also had a goal and an assist each, and the Leafs are gathering momentum at the right time, now winners of 5 of their last 6. They're 5 points behind the Boston Bruins for second place in the Atlantic Division. The Leafs would not mind passing Boston, which would give them home ice advantage, should those two teams finish 2-3 in the division and face each other in round 1. But it's having players like Matthews ready to skate onto the ice that matters far more than whether he is wearing the home or away jersey for game 1. The Bruins, meanwhile, have a date tonight against the Dallas Stars down in Texas, and they have 7 very significant players still trying to get back to full health, even as they chase the Tampa Bay Lightning for first place in the division and the Eastern Conference. That pursuit became more difficult with Tampa coming out a goal ahead in a pond hockey kind of run-and-gun game with the New York Islanders that ended with Tampa on top 7-6 last night. Not a game either coach would point to as a case study for how to play defense. The Lightning had a 7-3 lead in this one before the Islanders scored 3 straight goals to give the home crowd hope with about 4 minutes left to go in the third, but they could not score the equalizer, and the Lightning escape with the victory and 2 more points, which puts them 6 ahead of Boston for first place. The Bruins do have 2 more contests scheduled against the Lightning and a game in hand, but again, getting their bevy of injured players healthy before the playoffs is more important than snagging that first-place slot. The Philadelphia Flyers are closer to securing one of 2 wild-card spots in the East after a 4-3 win over the New York Rangers in Philly last night. Travis Konecny scored twice, and Claude Giroux added 3 assists for the Flyers, and that puts them a point behind Columbus for third place in the division. Looks like the Flyers will get into the playoffs as at least a wild card, even if they don't pass the Blue Jackets, who dealt a blow to the hopes of the Florida Panthers in shutting them out 4-0 last night. The Panthers are trying to catch the New Jersey Devils for the second and final wild card berth, and they could have snuck by the Devils with a win last night, but with the loss, they remain 1 point back. The biggest news in the NFL offseason wheelings and dealings was a shocker yesterday as the New York Giants traded a player who has been one of the best pass-rushing defensive ends in the game, Jason Pierre-Paul, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a 3rd and 4th round pick in next year's draft. What's most puzzling is that the Giants had recently signed JPP to a 4-year, $62 million deal, so it looked like he was in their long-term plans. But at 29 years old and his sack numbers declining over the last couple of seasons, the Giants perhaps wanted to get some of that contract off the books. Pierre-Paul is also coming off back surgery that limited some of his effectiveness, not to mention the off-the-field incident in which he lit some fireworks and lost part of his hand in the process. But the Buccaneers are hoping JPP can upgrade their own pass-rushing and run-stopping defensive game, and Jason Pierre-Paul is still one of the more feared defensive ends in the NFL.